I think it would be a little pretentious on my part to try to reevaluate with Maharaj, so what we say, completely evaluated in a nutshell the essence of each of the particular chapters. So without going back over any of the chapters, I'll just focus on a couple verses in this 18th chapter, which I think are fundamental, more or less a summation, the conclusion of the knowledge given in Bhagavad Gita. And these verses are actually stated by Srila Prabhupada. And one of them is Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Mam Yaji Mam Namaskuru Mam Me Vaishasi Satyam Te Pratijano Priyosime. Krishna, in that verse, pretty much sums up the whole process of bhakti in four activities. He says, think of me. But then he says, not only think of me, always think of me. So the essence of devotional life, or the goal of devotional life, is constant remembrance and devotion to Krishna. So he says that first, and he says, become my devotee. That means perform activities for my pleasure according to the directions of my representative, who can teach you how to worship me, how to serve me, how to offer your whatever you have to offer to me. And then he says, Manmana Bhava Mamyaji, worship me. Not only serve me, but I am your only, not just one, but not many, but one, ultimately the only object of worship. Through worshiping the Supreme Lord in His form as Sri Krishna, because in that purport, which we really didn't read, but Prabhupada really goes through and says, ultimately, we are devotees of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Krishna himself. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. So Mahaprabhu, in demonstrating the mood and the activities of a pure devotee, focuses completely on the worship of Lord Sri Krishna. Now that's controversial, because we also have many manifestations of Krishna in his other transcendental forms. We have Ram here, Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. We have Nrisinga Dev and various little incarnations. But our particular focus, and this is the essence of the Gita, is we're hearing from Krishna himself, the 200 form of Krishna who plays on his flute. So Krishna says, make me your exclusive object of worship. And the last thing he says, offer your respects to me, offer your obeisances to me, bow down before me. Because as Maharaj mentioned, one of the primary principles in the 13th chapter, or not principles, but qualities and characteristics of a Vaishnava, foremost is humility. And humility is a state of consciousness, it's a mood of activity, but it has to be displayed in order for it to really develop. So that display is to offer obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why when we come into the temple, we offer our obeisances to the Supreme Lord, to the Lord's pure devotee, like that. And that way, we are cultivating that mood of humility, which is conducive to the mood of worship. Because without that, worship is simply tinged with personal interests. So that verse, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes, is that this is a summation of what Krishna is saying. Perform these four activities. And it's a matter of cultivation. It's not a matter of simply surreptitiously superimposing these things in our life. And how do we develop this cultivation is through the association of Vaishnavas, and especially those who are adept at practicing these four activities. And through that, what we say, association, as Maharaj also mentioned in his lecture, we develop qualities according to how we associate. So when we associate with pure souls or advanced devotees, these qualities rub off on us. And by serving them, then these qualities actually take root within our mind and heart. So these four activities, more or less, not more or less, but ultimately are the complete activities of Krishna consciousness. And then in the next verse, which is Srila Prabhupada, do we have time for a story? This verse, Sarvadharma Parikshitam Mam Ekam Sararam Brajam Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yashyami Masuchaha. This is the, what we say, conclusion of everything. Krishna is saying, abandon all varieties. He's not saying become irreligious, the word religious is used. He's just saying give up all other forms of activities which you used for elevation and simply surrender to me. In the Narada Bhakti Sutras, in the 13th verse, this verse is explained in detail. And what does it say? It says that one may think, well, I could make advance in this way by chanting mantras, by giving in charity, by reading and studying philosophical scriptures. In other words, will all these other activities simply become what we say an adjunct, an enhancement on the principle of surrender? So without them, they are simply external. So unless the mood of surrender, what is Krishna saying? Surrender unto me means to give up what we think is best for us and accept Krishna's words. Story. I'll try to kind of like concise this story because it's a little long. It's from the Sri Sampradaya. One, I believe it was the names are a little bit unclear in my mind, but it was the nephew of Ramanujacharya. He came to Ramanujacharya. Dasarathi, his name was. He's a great scholar. He came to Ramanujacharya and he said, Ramanujacharya, dear uncle, give me the understanding of this verse. Sarva dharma pariksajam mam ekam saranam brajam aham tvam papebhyo moksha yashyami masuchaha. Ramanujacharya said, you go to, where was it? I'm really tired this morning, so my mind is not so clear. Shailapurna, he was staying in Tirupati. You go and you speak to him and he'll give you, he'll reveal it to you. So he traveled all the way from Sri Rangam to Tirupati. Took shelter of Shailapurnam, offered his prayers, obeisances, did all the proper etiquette in approaching a saintly person, asked the question. Shailapurnam said, thought for a minute and said, this question can best be answered by Ramanuja. So he sent him all the way back from Tirupati to Sri Rangam. He was not disturbed by the fact that he had to go all the way to meet Shailapurnam and have to go all the way back. He comes back to Ramanuja. In the meantime, during that time, Ramanuja's niece, another relative in the family, she just got married. She was a young girl, and in her new family, her mother-in-law was really, really difficult to work with. She would make the girl go out and haul water from the river and bring it all the way back to the house, cut the wood, cook the fire, cook the meal, do everything. And she was just so young, and she was struggling so hard to do all this hard work. And her mother-in-law was very, very unappreciating of everything she was doing. So she was in distress. She came all the way to Ramanuja and explained her dilemma, her difficulty. So just at that time, Dasarathi comes back. And Ramanuja says to him, after he asks the question, what is the meaning of this verse? He says, go and help my niece. She just got married. She's in a new family. The mother-in-law is making her work so hard. You help her with the work. So he thought, okay, fine. So he was hauling the water from the river, and she was cooking. He was cutting the wood. He was doing all the hard work, and it became nice, and she became satisfied. The mother-in-law was fine with that. So this went on for some time. Finally, he was doing this every day. One day he was walking along, and he's dressed in his ordinary work clothes, and he sees a group of people, and they're surrounding this one person, and he's talking. And he's speaking philosophy from the Shastras. So he stops and he listens. Now he's very erudite in the Shastras. And while this man is speaking, Dasarathi becomes very concerned. This man doesn't know what he's talking about. So he's showing it externally by making faces. And it became obvious to the speaker that he was disturbed by what he was saying. So the speaker turned to him and said, oh, you think you know better? So let me hear your explanations of what I just explained. And then he did. And he explained in such a way that it astounded everyone, because he was so expert in Shastra. And so, not only expert, but he could speak in such a way that immediately people would be convinced. And everybody was just mesmerized. And even the speaker, he said, this is amazing. I had never heard any explanations like this. Who are you? You're just a common laborer. Who are you? He said, my name is Dasarathi. He said, you are Dasarathi, the famous Dasarathi, the great scholar. What are you doing? You look like a common laborer. He said, this is the instructions of my spiritual master. He asked me to do this work. Sarva dharma parikshitya mamme kam saranam vaja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yashami masucha. When Ramanujacharya gave him that very menial type of service, he accepted. And in that way, he taught him the meaning of this verse. And so the point is that whatever Krishna wants, and we learn that through the spiritual master, because in the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita, it says, wherever there is Krishna and wherever there is Arjuna, everything comes. So Krishna, and not only Krishna, but Krishna and his pure devotee. Then there is victory, opulence, morality, and great strength, is it? Yeah.
Exceptional power,
extraordinary. In other words, all victory comes by serving Krishna, through surrendering to Krishna's representative, the bona fide spiritual master. And that's mentioned in the Gita in the fourth chapter also. So these two verses are very fundamental in our focus and in the execution of devotional service. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.